Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Welcome to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. I'm Joe Nettles, and I'm pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church. I also welcome you on behalf of Elder David Wise, the faithful pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. Now, you may be wondering what a Primitive Baptist is, or you may be a return listener and curiosity's been killing your cat. You want to know how in the world you can go and worship with those Primitive Baptists. How can you learn more about them? Who are these people? Who are these peculiar people, these Primitive Baptists? Well, buckle up. I'm about to tell you how to come and be with us or to join us over the airwaves. Well, already you're listening to this broadcast, and we want you to come and visit our churches. Sulphur Springs, the church I endeavor to pastor, is located at 40283 Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi. We meet 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning. Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church is located at 11 Staten Road in Ackerman, Mississippi. They also meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. We meet together every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. in Starkville, Mississippi, at the La Quinta Inn Conference Room. Come and join us. Well, say you can't come on location. Well, go to gospel-of-grace.com. That's our website affiliated with this broadcast. And there's frequently asked questions. There's a church locator. There are archived messages. You can contact us via that website. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you agree. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you're neutral and don't have any opinion whatsoever. One way or the other, we'd love to hear from you. We also invite you to download the podcast for this radio ministry, the Gospel of Grace podcast. You can download that off of iTunes. And we also now have the blessed privilege of at times being featured on Grace Alone Radio internet app. It's internet radio station that's new. You can download it for an Apple device or an Android device. It's a free app, and it works flawlessly. Grace Alone Radio. Search it. Download it. Utilize it. Oh, it's 24/7 of hymns sung a cappella, scripture readings, devotions, and many good, sound, powerful messages from the Word of God. This morning, we have a message from Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And right after this hymn, we'll be right back with today's message. Thank you for staying tuned to the Gospel of Grace broadcast. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And we read from Luke 6, 31, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." Now you realize the message being conveyed here is the golden rule. Do unto others as ye would have them do unto you. Now, somebody may say, well, Brother Joe, y'all are oftentimes on the Gospel of Grace broadcast teaching doctrinal messages, teaching about predestination, election, eternity, perdition, heaven, things of that nature. Well, today we have a very fundamentally practical message for you today from this one verse. But my friends, don't be lulled into thinking that it's not excitement entailed in this verse. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Because I'm here to tell you and charge you, according to the word of God, that my friends, if you're not utilizing and taking seriously to heart this instruction from the word of God, then you can know all of the doctrine. You can be able to speak with the voice of men and angels. But if you're not applying this to your life day in and day out, I guarantee you, you will not feel the power of the kingdom of heaven. I'm not saying you can't be saved, but I am saying this. You won't feel saved. You will feel just like you're making yourself at home in this dreadful world from which you've been redeemed by the Spirit, the blood of Christ, and born again by the Spirit of God. So it is crucial that we understand this practical application, that we apply it in our lives. Now, we read it again, Luke 6:31, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now, we see this same verse essentially stated in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Now, what was the setting there? It was the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you remember, Jesus Christ went up to the mountain and his disciples came up. They separated themselves from the people that were down at the base of the mountain. His disciples, those who were following his discipline, who were seeking to know more about him, they walked up and came up and followed him up to the top of the mountain, and they were seated and they heard the gracious sermon of Jesus Christ at the very outset of his public ministry. Now, many people would look at the verse from Matthew 7 and 12, and they might say, well, here he's giving this instruction as a separate people, as something, someone who's high upon the mountaintop of Zion. We are an exalted group, the church is, and this is how we're to treat one another. And sometimes people get that attitude. They think that they should do unto others as you would have them do unto you when you're among genteel folk, or when you're among the church, or when you're among people that are like believers. Oh, it's very easy to do that. There's no problem doing that at all. But my friends, we see a different setting in Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, we start reading with verse 17. Notice the difference here. Luke 6:17, and he came down with them and stood in the plain. Notice over in Matthew chapter 7, he was delivering that discourse from the top of a mountain. Here's a different setting. Now he is down in the plain. Now he is not separated from the mass of the populace that was around him. There were teeming with people that were here. Now notice how it describes these people. He came down with them and stood them in the plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem. So the Jews, that's to be expected. Notice, and he says, and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. These were heathen people. These heathen people from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which Tyre and Sidon were predominantly heathen, they were here to hear the words of Jesus Christ. Now, these were not people that had ever had privilege to enter into a synagogue or the tabernacle or temple. They had no right to do that. But here they are in the company of Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, which came to hear him and to be, notice this, healed of their diseases. There were all kind of sick folk, people that were afflicted by weaknesses, infirmities, pestilence. Now, this was not a very pretty and genteel looking crew here, a bunch of heathens and a bunch of sick folk. We go on, and verse 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits. You mean there were people that were vexed with unclean spirits there? So here you had heathens, you had sick folks, you had people that were vexed with unclean spirits, that were possessed by demonic power. I mean, this was not something, if you ever walked into a church house and you saw this group of people, you would be a little hesitant to go in and have a seat. But my friends, of such is the kingdom of God. These are the folks. These are the peeps. This is the population that Jesus Christ came to preach to. And here he is teaching them this gracious commandment that as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. In our text over in Luke chapter 7, verse 12, he goes on to say on the tail of this commandment, he says, and this is all the law and the prophets. So, you know, Jesus Christ broke
he basically condensed all of the law of the Old Testament into two commandments, that we love the Lord our God and that we love our neighbor as ourselves. But here in this golden commandment, this golden rule, we find it's even more simple. Just do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you are doing that, my friends, and you're on solid ground, if you're doing that, then you can feel assured, my friends, that according to the word of God, you are not following down a broad way that leads to destruction, but you are following in a straight way that leadeth unto life, just by treating others as you would want to be treated. Now, there's a lot of caveats to that, but I want to get right down into the meat of the subject, and we're going to bring this down to a very practical level. So let's look at some of the facets of how we are to love others as we love ourselves. Now, it sounds very exalted. It sounds very common. Somebody may say, why are you preaching on this? Everybody knows this. Well, if everybody knows it, then why doesn't everyone do it? It's very commonly known, but most people just don't care. And then we must stop and ask, well, if it's so ubiquitous, if it's so commonly known, and everyone's not doing it, I must stop and examine my own life and see, am I treating others the way that I would want to be treated? Well, let's look in the family setting. In the family setting, we need children to consider their parents. If you are a teenager or a young child, listen to my voice today. I want you to understand something, that your mom and your dad love you more than any other earthly human being. They do not love you more than Jesus Christ, but they love you more than they love themselves. And they pray for you. And they do everything they can to sacrifice for you and to help you. So if you're a teenager listening to the sound of my voice, stop and recognize that. Stop and realize that if you had a possession that was more precious to you than anything in the world, would you want somebody taking it to strange and dangerous places? Would you want someone treating it roughly? Would you want someone to just leave it out in the weather and neglect it, not pay special attention to it? Teenagers get their nerves all torn up when mom and daddy want to know, where are you going and who are you going with? Where can I reach you? How can I reach you? My friends, this is a dangerous, dangerous world out there. I used to be a teenager. Your parents used to be teenagers. And if you're a teenager listening to the sound of my voice today, you need to stop and realize that you are just an ignorant little waif bounding around in this dangerous, dangerous world. And your mother and father, I'd venture to say, most all the time have much more experience with this world and much more knowledge in this world than do you. You may not want to admit it, but in your mind and heart, you know it's so. And if that's so, then don't take their most prized possessions to bar rooms. Don't take their most prized possessions and line up to see rated R nasty movies. Don't take their prized possession and hang out at places of ill repute where you're not supposed to be. Don't take their most prized possession, which is you, in case you haven't figured that out, and stay out late, sneaking out of the house. Don't do that to your mom and dad. That's a hateful thing. You wouldn't want them doing that to you. You wouldn't want them neglecting you. You wouldn't want them abusing you. You wouldn't want them taking advantage of you. Don't do the same to them. Now, on the flip side of that, now I have an address for parents. And I'm a parent, and I have to preach it and hear it in my ears before you're able to hear it in yours. You know, we oftentimes take our children for granted. You know, I grew up in a household where if you asked my dad, especially, if I was to ask my dad, Daddy, why do you want me to do this? More often than not, he'd say, because I told you so. Now, let me stop and say, there is some merit to that because, my friends, parents, you are the sovereign of your household, as sovereign as one can be, and your word should rule. But at the same time, even though there's some merit to it, we must stop and examine, is that the best way to deal with our children? Is that the best way to answer them? My friends, your children need to know what their limits are. Your children need to have things explained to them. Now, I'm not saying that you should suffer and tolerate your children continually giving you lip and sass. No, there's a remedy for that. And it's hard nose sometimes. There's something that's hard love that has to be put on these children's bottoms every once in a while. Maybe some stripes up and down their legs to teach them some respect. But at the same time, we don't want to be despots over them. We also don't want to be their good buddies. My friends, one of the biggest problems with young people today is that their parents are not trying to be their parents. They're trying to be their friends. Well, you can be a friend, but first and foremost, you must be a loving, engaged, interested parent. You must explain to them their limits, and you must be consistent in that when it comes to discipline especially. And what about our example? We as parents don't want our children going out and going to places of ill repute. We don't want them watching nasty movies full of all kind of vile language and things of that nature. Well, what are your children seeing you do? I've often had people tell me, well, you know, you're mature enough to watch this movie, even though it's full of nudity and, you know, blasphemy and all kind of things like that. And your kids aren't watching it, but you're mature enough to watch it. Well, you know what? Maybe I am mature enough to be able to cull some of the rot that's in some of these movies. But at the same time, I must stop and ask myself, if it's not fit for my children to watch, is it really fit for me to watch? We need to consider them. We need to consider our example. Oh, all my life growing up, I'd hear the old heads in church bow down and pray some of the most powerful and beautiful prayers. And they would pray, oh, Lord, help me that as I look back in my walk of life, if I see my children, neighbors, and loved ones following in my footsteps, that I would not be consumed with shame, that I would not bring reproach on the church or your cause. Oh, that's a worthy prayer. We need to consider our examples before our children. If you don't want your children sleeping around, then by God, Mom and Daddy, you ought not be sleeping around. You ought to keep your vessel sanctified until you enter into the bonds of marriage according to the Word of God. My friends, that's the best way to instruct our children, and the best way to instruct our children in that is to do it by our faithful example. Now let's look in the workplace. Doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. What if you're an employee? Most of us are employees. I don't own my own business. I'm not independently wealthy by any means. I work for Baptist Memorial Hospital, Golden Triangle in Columbus. I have people that I answer to. And let me tell you, you're employees, and you're listening to the sound of my voice today. A lot of times we just don't want to get out of bed, do we? A lot of times we just say, you know what, they wouldn't miss me at work today. I'll just, you know. Sometimes we have to call in sick. Now, if you've got the flu and you've got fever and you're contagious, then you need to call in sick. I'm not talking about calling in sick. I'm talking about calling in slick, S-L-I-C-K. And you know what that is. That's when you just want to take you a day off. You've got something that you want to do. Well, is it really right for you to put an imposition upon your employer, make their life harder and more difficult, or your coworkers? I venture to say you have coworkers that could be greatly burdened by your absence. We must stop and ask ourselves, if I wouldn't want my coworkers calling in slick all the time, if I wouldn't want my employer to be absent and not be present when I had a question or needed some authoritative opinion, then you ought not do it. We need to stop and think about that. We need to be steadfast at our post, discharging our duties as oft as we can. Now, employers, this bit is for you. My friends, I recently saw a stat. I think it was over 60% of people leave their job not because they hate the work, not because they hate their coworkers, but because they absolutely can't stand their manager or their supervisor. Why? Because oftentimes they want to be boss. My friends, employers out there, you don't need to strive to be boss. Now, true, you need to be boss. There should be only one boss in any work area, and too many cooks in the kitchen will spoil the food. But at the same time, you need to lead by example. That's what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ didn't just send down some redemption from heaven. That would have been impossible, but he came himself. Man could suffer and couldn't satisfy. God could satisfy and couldn't suffer. So the God-man, Jesus Christ, came to lead by example, to present his body a living sacrifice. Ought not we do the same for those people under us? Should we not lead by example in a sacrificial and a humble way? What about applying this to others in general? How oftentimes do you get cut off in traffic and you're shaking your fist? Or you might even stick up that little old middle finger that Mom and Daddy warned you not to do when you were a kid. How dreadful. Oh, we all have road rage at times. I can tell you, I've got a terrible temper. I have to fight with it continually. What if you're in the store at Walmart and somebody before you is going slow in the line? They're unloading their buggy. You know, in the South, we call them buggies. Their cart, their buggy, very slowly. And you're just thinking, oh, my goodness, all I want to do is get out of this place of Gomorrah. Let me out of here. And you just wonder why in the world this person won't hurry up. Well, my friends, we as Jesus Christ disciples have been told that we have the mind of Christ, right? The mind of Christ, does it think beyond just the veneer, just the surface? Well, certainly it does. The mind of Christ has known us before the world ever began, saw the fall in Adam, knows the very thoughts of our hearts, knows what's around every corner. Well, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, then we need to stop and try to be rational, deep thinkers. I'm not saying be a deep thinker is try to sit around philosophizing all the time. No, I'm saying what we need to do is stop and think about what may be going on in this person's life. The person that cut you off in traffic, maybe they have a sick child in the car. Or maybe they have somewhere they're going. You may say, well, maybe that's not likely. Do you really know it's not likely? But you just make a rash decision to curse them or to show out when we don't give someone the benefit of the doubt. What if that person ahead of you in the line at Walmart going very slowly just got out of the hospital? Or what if they're sick? Or what if they're intellectually incapacitated or handicapped? You don't know. But there is one thing you do know. You're supposed to love everybody you come in contact with as Jesus Christ loved his elect. That means you're to love with a sacrificial, calm, patient, enduring love. And we need to apply that. I tell you what, if they would do that on Capitol Hill, the White House, and the Supreme Court, and the governor's mansion, wherever the case may be, oh, what a great situation it would be for our state and our nation. What about in the church? Do you belong to a church? How often do you go to that church? Somebody may say, well, I go every Easter, I go every Christmas, or I go on Mother's Day. Well, bless your heart. Let me ask you something. Now, if you had an entity that was a church that meant the world to you and your whole life and mind was focused on inviting people to that church to hear the good news of the finished work of redemption in Jesus Christ and to feel the power of the Holy Spirit and to enter into the waters of baptism and to join the church and enjoy the communion and enjoy all the benefits and blessings of membership in the Lord's church, and you invited a family or a friend from work to come, but yet you invite them, and when they come, most of the people that attend that church or are members of that church just decided to lay off that day. Well, you know, I have a little headache. Oh, you know, I just didn't feel. I felt like I needed a day for myself. Thank God Jesus Christ didn't feel that way, a day for yourself. I guarantee you, if your pastor didn't show up to deliver the message that day and didn't send word and didn't have a good reason why he was absent, man, that would go over like a hair in the butter bowl. Y'all would be ready to run him out of town on a rod. Don't tell me you wouldn't. How is it our pastor's not here today? He didn't even send word. Well, how often do you miss and how often do you send word? And if I'm gone from the pulpit, my church expects me to send somebody to take my place. And that's understandable. I'm the minister. Well, how often do you're gone? Do you think, well, you know, let me invite somebody else to come. Maybe they'll come to be in my place. But the most important thing is you being at your post, discharging your duty. And if you're under the sound of my voice today and you've been slacking that, I encourage you to repent and do unto your brothers and sisters in the church as you would have them do unto you. Stop laying up and being sorry. That's what heathens do. That's what unbelievers do. My friends, when you go through the waters of baptism, you're to be raised up with newness of life. You can't live in newness of life, living in the old sorry habits we had before. Balderdash and poppycock. Now, I'm going to end this message with something very important, social media. How many of you out there have claimed the name of Christ won't stop and take a deep breath before you see an unflattering meme of Hillary Clinton or of Donald Trump or of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or of Mitch McConnell, whoever the case may be? We're focusing on politics. It could be a Hollywood star. It could be anybody. And you stop and you look and say, oh, that's funny. That's really getting them. I'm going to share that. And you hit share. Now, if somebody made a meme out of your mama about how ugly your mama was, how well would you handle that if people were sharing it all over the internet? do unto them as you would have them do unto you, right? Stop and think about that. If you wouldn't want somebody portraying your mother or your father or your children in such a way, in such a mean, then don't do it. Even if you despise the person, be judicious. Have the mind of Christ. Don't sit there and share and say, boy, we really got them. Take a moment and pray for that person. Pray for Donald Trump. Pray for Nancy Pelosi. Don't try to smear them. Don't try to kick them. No, love them for Jesus' sake. And if you see a crime being committed and you see on Facebook or whatever the case may be, everybody is saying, hang them. They need to be burned. They need to be put under the jail. They need to be emasculated or whatever the case may be. Do you realize you're trying to try the guilt or innocence of someone? You've already made up your mind in just a split second by reading a few lines off of an internet blurb. My friends, you're reserving for yourself that which is normally, according to the rule of law, is given to a jury or a judge. A judge who is trained to do and sworn to hear with impartiality, and a jury that has been carefully selected. I know our legal system isn't perfect, but stop trying to try everybody over social media. My goodness, that gets tired. You know what? Just stop and say, you know what? Maybe I don't know all the ins and outs. I don't have all the information, those lawyers and that judge. I don't have all the information. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to have the mind of Christ and trust that the legal way will work it out. My friends, let's do unto others as we would have them do unto you. And I'll leave you this too. Do you want the Lord to bless you? How often do you strive to bless the Lord? By praising his name, by praying unto him, by telling others about him, by actually doing what his commandments say. I see a lot of people come to me and they say, why am I having this problem? Well, where do you go to church? I don't go to church. How often do you pray? Well, not really a prayer. Have you read your Bible? I know the Bible's a good book, but just stop it. If you want the Lord to do good unto you, then do good unto him. Oh, my friends, his grace is far greater than we could ever begin to imagine. But our Lord's long-suffering, but he's not mocked. Take these words with you. Pray on them. Receive them with the spirit of love in which they're intended. And until we meet with you again, may the Lord's blessed grace bless you all.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of him.